Good morning. What a beautiful day the Lord hath made. Could we rejoice today and be glad in it? And if we have breath, give Him praise today. Well, that was good singing. I knew Brother and Sister Gibbs can make good gravy, but I didn't know they could sing like that. You know, there's a little bit of advice, Brother Gibson, that I was given as a young fellow when I started preaching. They told me, said, when you get up there, don't waste any time telling them you can't preach. He said, it won't be long after you get started. They'll know it. So I've tried all these years not to make any excuses, not to try to tell people that I can't preach, because I know just as soon as I get started, they'll know that I can't, so we won't worry about that. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Praise the Lord. Well, I've been instructed this morning, 20 minutes. I'm not going to tell you who instructed me, but you fellas know as well as I do that we guys, what we think of instructions. We only heed them after we get in trouble doing what we do, right? Often I've tried to put things together and had to go back and get that little sheet of instructions to tell me how to do it. Praise the Lord. Well, I do want to speak to you just a little while this morning. I trust that I can give you one thought of some sort that you can take home with you to think about in the days of next week. In the hours, if we could just glean just a little bit now and then to help us to live a life pleasing unto God, we need to do it. And so this morning I would like to sow maybe a seed of thought in your mind. If you have your Bibles, for just in reference to what I want to say this morning, Matthew chapter 11, if you want to turn to that. Matthew 11, verse 7. Let me just read you a few verses here and just kind of set the subject matter before you. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before my face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John hath come neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified for her children. I didn't know what was in the Sunday school lesson this morning, but it was a good Sunday school lesson. It was about the Old Testament and what went on in worship in the Old Testament. It was about what it took to take away the sins of mankind and put him in right relationship with God. I tell you, I'm glad we're not living in the old dispensation as a priest. I'm glad that I don't have to go through what those priests went through. But we're living in a new dispensation, but I want to tell you, our God hasn't changed any. He's still the same God that looked over the sacrifices and the things that went on in the temple. He's the same God today. And I want to serve Him as that same God. And you know, I've always found that I find God in the same place every time that I look for Him. And I always found that He always has the same ideas about His law and what He requires of me and what He requires of mankind. But you know, I'm concerned about the generation that we find ourselves living in, and I'm not going off on a tangent this morning and begin to tell you how you need to live in the sight of God. God's Word does that. It tells us how we need to live in the presence of a holy God. But we must seek it, and we must find it, and we must adhere to it. And so this morning, for just a little while, let me talk to you just as one man to another. What did we come to church for this morning? If you came to hear the preaching and just put your stock in what you're going to hear this morning, you'll probably go away disappointed. If you come to hear the singing, well, it was good singing. But you know, we didn't come to hear the Sunday school teacher necessarily teach, or the singers to sing, or me to preach. We came to worship the Lord. You know, and I thought, to worship Him. To have Him come in our presence is a magnificent thing. Just to feel the presence of God. You know, and He assured us that if we'd gather in His name, the Lord, He said, I'll be there in the midst of you. And isn't it wonderful to be able to feel His presence? Jesus here in this scripture was paying tribute to John, His forerunner. He was telling the multitude about who John was and what kind of man John was. If you read the first part of this 11th chapter, you'll find that Jesus had just ended His commanding of His disciples. And here in this read that you read in the rest of the chapter, He was talking to the multitude. John was in prison. And John heard that Jesus was coming through, and he sent two of his disciples to see Jesus, to ask Him if He's the one that was to come behind Him. This is what Jesus said to those fellows that came that day. He said, you go tell John, the lame walk, the blind see. You go tell him that miracles are being performed. And through that, John's going to know that I'm who he thinks I am. But Jesus said, I want to know about you. What did you come out here today to see? What did you come for? What are you looking for? What do you have in your mind that you're going to expect today? Are you coming to see a man in soft raiment, dressed in fine linens? Did you come to see a king? Maybe was the thought there. Oh, you'll find those in kings' houses. You'll find those kind of people. John was one that came through the wilderness. Was kind of a rugged type of fella, you know. He just kind of lived off the land and wore skins of animals and just made his way through the wilderness, preaching an entrance and making a way for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, paving the way for Jesus. But he said, I want to know in your heart, what do you expect, or what are you looking for? Did you come out to see a reed shaken in the wind? Or maybe a prophet? But could I ask you again this morning, what did we come to church for this morning? We come to worship. We come to greet the one that loves us. We come to greet the one that meets us every morning when we get up from our evening rest. We come to meet the one and to worship the one that helps us through the hard places. And even encourages through the good times. Praise God. You know, Brother Gibson, I'm concerned this morning about our worship. You see, some of us have been in this thing quite a while. This thing called worship. It's different today than it was back in the 60s when we got in. Worship is different today. But you know, I get concerned sometimes about the things that I'm handing down. Some of you that are my age and maybe older, do you ever just sometimes think about the things that you're handing down to the next generation? You know, I think we need to consider that, and then you that are younger, you need to, we need to understand what we're receiving and what we're taking up. Sometimes I get to thinking about that old Winchester Model 37 I've got. The first gun that my dad ever gave me. The first gun that I ever shot. An old single barrel 16, red letter edition. It's a collector's item. Doesn't mean anything to anybody else, hardly, but to me. And it means something to me for different reasons. First of all, because my dad gave it to me as a young boy. And when I put that old 16 to my shoulder and drew it down on that old crow that day and pulled that trigger and the kick of that old gun against my shoulder, I'll never forget that. It was putting memories in my mind and things that I have kept with me all of my life. I can take you within 5 feet of where we were sitting on my uncle's farm that day. But you know, I'm kind of concerned about handing that old Model 37 down. You say, well, when you're gone and through with it, why do you care? Well, you know, there's just something about what you have accumulated and what you have worked for and what you have loved all of your life, just seeing it pitched to the wind. Of course, whoever gets it, they'll do what they will with it. Or, you know, that old tractor that I'm working on that belonged to my dad. I've been working on it for over a year now. It's an old Alice Chandler Model C, 1942. It's an antique. But you know, it means more than just being an antique to me. It's something my dad climbed on every morning and went out to the field and spent his day working. It's something that he'd grab me up and put me on his lap and let me act like I'm guiding the steering wheel of that old tractor. You know, there's something about handing that down when I get it finished that concerns me. What kind of hands is it going to fall into? Are they going to carry on that tradition of what I've had? I'm a gun collector, I suppose, in a sense. I have my wife sometimes, what are you doing with all these things? You don't use them. I've got her mother's old handguns hanging in my gun case. It's been hanging there for years. Doesn't do anything, but it has some kind of meaning to it. Not too long ago, I'm still adding to it, I run onto I. Hollis and Son's old hammered double barrel 12. Doesn't mean anything to you, does it? I bought that gun for $50. I came home, I got on the internet, I typed it in on the internet, and you know what that gun's worth? $1,000. Who I gave the $50 to was happy. When I typed it in on the computer and looked and saw it was worth $1,000, I was happy. And so now we're all happy. But I'm worried about what's going to happen to it when I hand it down. But you know, those are temporal things. Those are things that doesn't matter. Those are things that, whether they're handed into the right hands or not, or whether they treat them as I did or not, it's not going to matter in the eternities at all. It's only in my mind and in my heart that they're important. But you know, there's something that weighs heavy on my heart and mind that I am really concerned about. And that's the God that I serve. The little span of time that God has allowed us to come into and spend our time here doing the things that are necessary to do, to sustain holiness and to carry on the things that He has taught us to live by. I wonder what kind of hands they're falling into, and will it be carried on? And I can see in my own family ranks that one generation mishandling the things of God can change it entirely. I have children that are raising my grandchildren that doesn't know God. That bothers me. That disturbs me. That creates a heaviness in my soul this morning. Because what's it going to be to the next generation? You and I this morning, and when I preach, I thought about this morning, whenever I get behind the sacred desk and begin to preach, I always try to include myself in what I'm saying, because for 35 years I pastored, and I'm the only preacher that I could glean anything from as far as preaching is concerned. So I try to include myself in the message that I'm handing out to those that are hearing myself. We're in this thing for the cause of Christ and God's kingdom. Until we're living in a generation now that you can do anything you want to do, go anywhere you want to go, and be anything you want to be, and still be a Christian. The only problem with that is it's not true. You can't. Let me plant a little seed in you young people's, in your young people here this morning, in your mind. The only way that you're going to be happy in life is to be yourself. You cannot live your life pleasing to everybody else and not be happy within yourself. You've got to be yourself to be happy. Now the secret to that is to let God work with you, to change you in places that need to be changed, and to help you in areas of your of being you, so you can be happy. It would be a miserable life to live this life doing things that you didn't want to do and being what you didn't really want to be. How many times have we heard it said, well, I'm of age now, I can do what I want to do. And some people do. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't know anything about being saved, didn't know anything about God's Word, wasn't raised in a Christian home, didn't know anything about God. Well, there's some things about my personality that had to change. God can change your personality. He can actually change who you are and what you are and how you live. I used to be so timid that I really couldn't hardly get by. As a child, I spent most of my time behind my dad's leg, peeping out around the side. Whenever he'd come up on friends to stand to talk with him when we were in town, the first thing I'd do would be grab him around the leg and get around behind him and hold on to his leg and peep out the side. Because I was bashful. I was afraid for people to look at me. I really didn't want people to talk to me. I was shy. That's a terrible way to be. I remember as just a little lad, the local store there in town sent out an advertisement that for everybody that came in on a certain day and brought their eggs or their cream or whatever it was a creamery place, got a ball, a baseball type rubber ball. And I told my dad, I'd like to have one of them. And he pulled up and out in front of the creamery and he said, well, go in and get it. No. No. I can't do that. Oh, he said, just go in and tell the man that you want one of those free balls. No, I can't do it. Well, he got out and he took me by the hand and he took me into the store and he took me up to the counter and he told the man that Bobby would like to have a free ball, and so the man handed it to him. Now, this is the type of person that God called to preach. You think I should go through life hiding behind my wife's leg and looking out around her to try to preach the gospel? Or maybe down behind the stand where I would get where people couldn't see me and I would get embarrassed because every eye's looking at me. But when I started courting my wife, we'd drive up in front of a restaurant, one of these drive-up restaurants, and I'd say, well, go up and get it because I'm not. She'd have to go put in the order and get the food because I was too bashful. But when God saved me, He made a change in my personality. Let me tell you something. Anything God changes about you, it's for the better. He's not going to change you for the worse. It's for the better. There's some things we can learn about the scripture that's before us. John was preparing the way for Jesus. Jesus asked the question, what did you go out to see? What was you looking for? What was you expecting? Here was being launched a new dispensation. It was a change in the way people were going to worship. And some people don't take change very well. But it was a tremendous change that was taking place. The way of worship was in the process of being redone as far as the people knew about worship. What does worship in the following Christ involve? Is it about me? No. Worship isn't about me. It's not really about what I do, necessarily. But it's about God. It's about Jesus Christ that died for our sins. It's about Him. And it's about lining our thinking and our hearts and our lives to please Him. Not just on Sunday, but every day that we live. You know, one of the greatest things that they'll be able to say about you or should be able to say about you when they're looking at you when you're in death is that it was always the same. He never changed down through the years. The God that he began to serve back those early years was still his same God when he died. Are things going to change in that period of time? Absolutely. I don't wear a seersucker suit. I don't wear button shoes. Things change. But God gave us instruction in the Word what to do with those changes. Dress modestly. Whatever you make it out of, dress modestly. He puts the concept in our hearts and in our minds and expects us to do it. Live honestly. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't commit adultery. Don't do all those things. He gives you the outline of it and He expects us to conform to His law and His word. And it's exciting life to do that. And you and I are finding ourselves in the last portion of this dispensation of the church age. And there's some things that we're going to have to learn what we're going to do with. When almost 2 out of 3 couples that you visit and call upon are in remarriage, what are we going to do with it? It's there. Do we just mark them off and say, well, they're lost and they're on their way to hell and that we can't change it? No, we're going to have to minister to those people. But is that going to change the way we feel and the way we know that God talks about that? No, absolutely not. But there's a way that we can minister to those people. We're in the midst of change. But Jesus addressed that in this scripture. Would you come out to see? You're going to find there's a difference in the way that people worship. They're not going to have to kill the sacrifices anymore. They're not going to have to bring the animals. They're not going to have to do all those things anymore. Because He was making reference to Himself. And He later says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. It's all about changing our hearts and our lives to suit Him. Praise the Lord. Jesus had a great opinion of John, verses 11 and 12. Jesus gave John praise for a job well done. Think about our role in life. Think about the part that we play. Think about the end. What then? Did you come out to see the prophets or see a prophet? What an awesome responsibility John had. Now he was sitting in prison because of the way he preached. But his work was being carried on. He had done a good job and he did it well. And then Jesus admonished his admonition for that generation. He said, he that hath ears, let him hear. What you're seeing today, what you're hearing today, take heed of it. This is the generation that's going to carry on what John did. And you and I find ourselves doing basically what John did. We're carrying it on through the story of salvation. It's in our hands. It's up to us. What are we going to do with it? Jesus found himself in this scripture in the midst of a generation of fault-finding people. We live in that generation today. People find fault with everything we do. Oh, your dresses are too long. Your sleeves are too long. Your hair is too long. You know, you're too strict. You're not strict enough. You preach too short. We can't get anything from it. You preach too long. You bore us to death. Fault-finding people. They find fault with everything. You know why? Because they're not happy within themselves. If they'd find the Lord and get God on the scene and get Jesus in their heart, then it would be easy. Or easier. Life is worshiping God and fulfilling His will for our lives. It's not about me. It's about God and doing what God wants us to do in the generation that He put us in. Somebody got up, and I'm closing. Somebody got up not long ago testifying. It was a young man, and it bothered me a little bit because he said something like this: we, as young people, don't really want to hear about what happened years ago. We want to know, and we want to hear about what's happening today. But let me say this. I understand what he's saying. It's not what happened years ago doesn't have a whole lot to do with what's happening today, except what happened years ago took care of man's sinfulness and it changed his life. And you know, one of the things when I got saved that helped me to get established was hearing how God did it in the lives of those that preceded me. When the older ones would get up and say, God changed my life, and begin to proceed to tell how He changed their lives. How He made a way for me financially and physically and mentally. It did something for me. It told me that the God they were serving was well able to take care of their needs. And I was smart enough to realize that if He could take care of their needs, He could take care of mine as well. So I do think that young people need to hear about what God did in the yesterdays. Because He's the same yesterday, today, and when we're dead and gone and you younger ones take our place, He's going to be the same then. But young people and children need to hear about it. It's about God. It's about God. 40-some years, He's helped me pay all of my bills. You know why? Because I was taught early to pay my tithe and give my offerings. And that if I would do that, God would take care of my needs. And there never has been a need that I've ever had that He hasn't helped me take care of. Praise God. It's about Him. Him. So let Him change your life and make you and mold you to what you need to be happy in His kingdom, doing what He wants you to do, and to carry on the work here at Wiseball to see souls born in the kingdom of God. Let's stand. What'd you come out for today? To see. The red chicken in the wind? Somebody dressed in fine clothes? Just to hear me preach? No. If you did, you'd probably be disappointed in all three. But you came out today to worship the Lord and to take home with you something that the Lord gave you today to help you live next week. This is a filling station to get filled up to greet the world next week. Bow our heads. Well, if you came with a need in your heart this morning, I learned a long time ago, don't be so easy to dismiss without opening the altar, because some people may come to want to pray. If you came this morning with a need in your heart and needed to pray, we want you to know the altar's open. With every head bowed, not taking too long, but just giving you opportunity, would you like to come and pray? Do you have a need you'd like for it to be met this morning? The altar's open. We'll take time to pray with you. Anybody here this morning? you've got a spiritual need and you'd like to pray before you go home, we'd like to take time to pray with you. Anybody? Father, we thank you for this morning for the privilege of being in your house. You know all about every request that were mentioned this morning. We pray that your will be done in those. You know each one that's come out today. Help us to determine within ourselves that we're going to live pleasing in your sight and do your will in our life. That we could carry on what's been handed down to us for the preservation of your worship and your kingdom. Bless this people today. May this be a good day in the Lord. Bring us back to the service this evening. And please, Lord, keep your hand upon what's going on the mission field today. And give them help and strength as they minister there as well. And give them souls for their labors, our prayer. And for what you do, we'll thank you for it. For we ask in your name. Amen. God bless you, and you're dismissed.